We went out to two holy sites today, Seva Kunj, Nidavan, and Mohan Ther, which is Ramanreti, playground of Krishna and Balaram, and also Rasa Dance. And aside from the pastimes told at these places, we were discussing two points. The first one was about the confidential nature of Srimati Radharani's identity, name, relationship with Krishna. Sometimes I hear devotees here at the temple when they're taking the guests around speak volunteer too much information, too much detail about who that girl besides Krishna is. Aside from saying that she's Krishna's foremost devotee, not much need be said unless people really have some innocent, honest inquiries about Srimati Radharani's identity. And that is because, well, for the first part, Ashwadate Pi Ashchinvati Ashupadesha Shivanama Parada, Vaishnavas have a general understanding that to tell people knowledge of Krishna consciousness that's beyond their adhikar or qualification to understand falls into the category of a nama parad, which is detrimental to both the speaker as well as to the person who has received the information. And the second is that the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition is that we keep Srimati Radharani's identity really quite secret, as we see from Srimad Bhagavatam. Aside from one indirect mention of her, Shukadeva Goswami doesn't directly mention her name in any way, although certainly says that Krishna left with one gopi. The reason for that is that Srimati Radharani, her relationship with Krishna, Krishna's relationship with her, Krishna's relationship with gopis, is the topmost secret or prized possession of Vaishnavas, and therefore they don't just readily put it out on display to anyone and everyone, even when people ask. It's something that's given confidentially to people who are confidential, who are in a confidential relationship with Krishna. Just like if some casual visitor comes to your home, you don't just all of a sudden take out the family jewels and reveal them to everyone. You show that to people who are either very serious visitors, serious guests, or who are very intimate, very closely connected with the family. So, same thing. Even although the Yuga Dharma is to chant the name of Radha and Krishna, we don't actually explicitly say Radha Krishna. We don't say Srimati Radharani's name explicitly, but rather we say Hare, which is the invocative form of Hara, and even that is a little indirect way of saying Radha. And why is that? Because there's this principle of Parokshavad, that those things which are confidential should not be directly spoken about. So Krishna says that Parokshavida Rishaya, that rishis, they speak in such indirect language, and he says in that also Priya, this type of language is also very dear to me. It's a reason why we also don't chant, as sometimes in Vrindavan we'll hear the mantra Radhe Krishna, Radhe Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Radhe Radhe, Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam, Shyam Shyam, Radhe Radhe. Because Srimati Radharani's name is already there within the Hare expression, And therefore she knows it, Krishna knows it, and the chanter, if he's clued in to the meaning of the Mahamantra and is also attentive when chanting, then he'll also know who it is that he's appealing to. So it's not necessary to directly say it. As the common saying is, don't cast pearl before the swine. So in our preaching, in our personal dealings, even in our conversation amongst each other, we should always keep the conception of Srimati Radharani and her name in topmost respect. And topmost respect means not freely disclosed. The other principle we were talking about was how Cupid was defeated by Krishna in the Rasa dance. There's a place which is known as Mohan Ter. So at this Mohan Ter, Cupid, he appeared at the time of the Rasa dance. And because interaction between boys and girls is his kingdom, that's the realm in which he functions. So he also thought, well, this is a place for me. I've got some work here to do. But he had no work to do. For Cupid, he took his arrows and he began to shoot his arrows at Krishna. But his arrows went nowhere because there was nothing for him to shoot at. Cupid's target when he shoots arrows within the hearts of conditioned souls is the lust which is within their heart, and he inflames that lust and inspires all kinds of amorous relationships between members of the opposite sex. But if there's no lust in your heart, then there's nothing that Cupid can do. So in Krishna, there's no lust in Krishna's heart. Krishna is not lusty after anyone. Krishna reciprocates with the desire of his devotees. His devotees want him to be their son, then he is their son. He wants him to be his friend, then he acts as a friend. He wants him to be a lover, then he acts as a lover. But actually, such apparent exchanges, which are similar to exchanges in the material world in these different types of relationships, are only Krishna's reciprocation of love. But he has no particular lust, desire to fulfill. He's Atmarama, Aptakama, and above all, he's Suchi. He's supremely pure. So seeing that his arrows found no target, seeing that he was unable to influence Krishna in any way and inflame his desire, but at the same time seeing that Krishna was, to his mundane vision, engaged in the very romantic activities of dancing under the full moon night with many beautiful, beautiful girls, Cupid just got bewildered. He couldn't understand what was going on. And this is called the defeat of Cupid. We also are trying to achieve this perfection of defeating Cupid. Defeating him doesn't mean that we have to enter into any type of direct confrontation, as Krishna didn't even pay any attention to Cupid's presence. But it means purifying the heart so that there's no place for Cupid to actually pierce, no place where he can further inflame material desires, no target for him to shoot at. And then naturally he becomes defeated. And that type of purity of the heart, for instance, we read about that in the 12th canto, Markandeya Rishi. He also became so pure that there was no effect. Cupid came to challenge his spiritual advancement, to distract him with the presence of other beautiful girls. It didn't work. And why is that? Because Markandeya Rishi made his heart one with the Supreme Personality of God, that he was completely absorbed in the Supreme Pure, and by being in contact with He who is Suci, you also become Suci, and that way free from the domain of Cupid. Ultimately, in order to enter into Krishna's pastimes, which are solely based on love and simply to the untrained, materialistic eye, appear to be like the exchanges in the material world, which are all based upon sense gratification, fulfilling some emotional, mental, sensual need with consensual parties, as they say nowadays. To become free from this is possible through direct contact with Krishna. And of course, how is that direct contact achieved? By chanting His holy name. Krishna has made that holy name, Namas Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Purna Shuddha Nitya Mukta. So Krishna has made Himself available through the medium of His holy name by constantly chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Then we can also become pure like Krishna, free from the influence of Cupid, free from all material influence for that matter, but that is the most trying, Kamesha, Krodesha, and ultimately that will also qualify us to enter into Krishna's wonderful pastimes. Hare Krishna.